I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, bringing you a safe space, an island for independent thought. This is Friday, so next hour we'll have our usual segments of False Flag Friday. I don't know if you've been paying attention to stuff that's going on in Kazakhstan, but it's important stuff. This is obviously one of the headlines lost, but this is our chance every Friday in relentless coverage of the regime in Washington, D.C. and COVID and all of those things. Foreign policy certainly has taken a back burner for the last 22 months, but it's important. And I've taken some time to look into this Kazakhstan issue. I kind of smelled a rat, and I think I've pretty much confirmed exactly what's going on there. And it won't be the last you've heard of that region. So we'll talk about that. And then there was also one event that took place. I believe it was yesterday. Smells like a false flag. Smells like they're setting us up for something. So we'll talk about that and then finish up this day's show with This Week on the Crazy Train. And I've got so many clips for that, I'm going to be picking and choosing. I might need to start that right now, probably, to get through all the clips I have. But anyway, get the show started. Quote of the day today. First one is from H.L. Mencken, who says, "A good politician is quite as unthinkable as an honest burglar." Very similar professions, politicians and your average criminal. And Charles Hugh Smith, he's got just a blog called Of Two Minds. He writes a lot of pieces that I enjoy reading. He's got a great penchant for headlines. I click on just about everything, even when I see a link to a story that he does or an article he writes that I don't know it's him. He has good headlines. But he's talking about the fact that we've got a revolution actually going on in this country right now, and that is the Great Resignation. I don't know if you've been hearing about this, but this is Americans quitting their jobs in record numbers. It seems kind of counterintuitive to where we are economically, but he's got a piece kind of about this is a bit of a workers' revolt. But he says this. He says, "The sources of the revolution are in plain sight. You rig the economy to enrich the already rich top 10% and supersize the already bloated wealth of the top 0.1%. And then you wonder why the bottom 90% are indebted, broke, burned out, and disgruntled. The hubris of the ruling class and their lackeys is off the scale, as this structural exploitation is presumed to not just be acceptable, but delightful to the bottom 90%. And no, you have not tuned into some radical leftist show. There is real abuse of America's working class, middle class, and even upper middle class at the hands of the banksters and the Wall Streeters here in the United States. Been going on for a long time, facilitated by anyone, anyone. That's right, the Death Star, the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve unleashing all of this inflation, not just Joe Biden by himself, but a combination of Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Jerome Powell, Ben Bernanke, Janet Yellen, Alan Greenspan, Barack Obama, George W. Bush, they're all complicit in it. But inflation is good for some people. This was a headline yesterday. Revenue at Goldman Sachs commodity desk soars to highest in a decade, setting up partners for massive bonuses. So as you go out there and pay more money for all of the different commodities, whether it's your energy prices that are up, whether it's your building materials that are up, lumber, steel, whether it's your food prices that are up, feed is up, and so meat prices are up, and all of this. So just understand where that is flowing to, all the extra cash that you are spending on all the things you need to get through to life. They are funneling, trickling, bubbling up into Goldman Sachs trading desk bonuses. So inflation is good for some. There's another headline about that as well. New York condo sells for $190 million. Billionaire doubles money in 2 years. A little public school back of the envelope math says, I guess the guy bought this condo for $95 million and has now sold it for $190 million, doubling his money in 2 years. That's your billionaire class. They buy the assets. The Fed pumps the money. The assets go up in price. The billionaires sell those assets. You know, I've got a friend who does not believe in conspiracies. We have a number of very vigorous debates. And to just about everything, he ascribes some level of incompetence. As I would look at the response to COVID and say, this is not about health. This is not about any. This is about money for the hospitals. This is about money for the pharmaceutical companies. This is about control of the people by the bureaucratic and the political class. He would say, no, it's just, you just have such bad people in government. Now, I'm not arguing that. There are plenty of people in government offices that are wildly incompetent. And government is horribly inefficient at everything it does and successful at nothing. I've put the challenge out there. If you want to call and tell me of a successful federal government program, I'm all ears. I know what you're going to say. But you're going to say Social Security. No, it's not that is not a success. You're earning the calculation is 1.5% on your money for your entire life from money that was stolen from you. And still, Social Security is insolvent as far as future projections. What did I see the other day? Like a $56 trillion under budget to pay out all the... Anyway, there are a lot of incompetent people in government, and they certainly are inefficient, and they make horrific mistakes. But the reason that I will see some level of a conspiracy or some level of a plan in these things where my friend, who just believes it's all just kind of random bad government that puts us where we are, whether it's, inflation or poor COVID response, any of these bad outcomes, he ascribes to stupidity and incompetence. And I subscribe more evil motives to it. And the reason is because the same people always come out on the top of these things. You know, if it was all by accident, just a government, a horribly inefficient and incompetent government lurching from thing to thing and screwing things up, you would think occasionally they would take a swipe at the elite class, right? Maybe they would pay a price at some point, but they don't. Raging inflation at the local level, Goldman Sachs bonuses up, billionaires doubling their money in 2 years on $95 million condos. And these stories go on and on and on and on. You look at wars that can't be won. Just an incompetent government that's just, even conservatives will say, well, that's just because Barack Obama wouldn't let them take the gloves off and really, really go in there and kick some butt. Because you don't understand wars in the United States. They're not fought to be won. They're fought to be fought. The money is in the conflict itself, not in a decisive, swift victory. And so I'm telling you, I look at all of these things. And I say, yeah, there's a tremendous amount of incompetence in our government, but boy, does that elite class, the oligarchs in our society, they always seem to be on the right side of these things, don't they? And if they always win, is there a group that always loses? Well, yes, Mike, I'm glad you asked. This is from Bloomberg today. It just got harder to hide from the IRS. Starting this month, users selling goods and services through such popular sites as Venmo, Etsy, and Airbnb will begin receiving tax forms if they take a payment of more than $600. One by one in recent months, tech giants have been warning users of the coming changes and asking them to provide tax information. Quote, until this year, the threshold was much higher, $20,000 in 200 transactions, so it didn't affect nearly as many people, Venmo told users in its messages about the change. Quote, this requirement only pertains to payments received for sales of goods and services and does not apply to friends and family's payments for now. For now. So while Goldman Sachs bonuses are through the roof. And it says, as a direct cause of the rapidly rising commodity prices that are crushing the working class and the middle class, and their bonuses are hinged on this. They make money with inflation. Inflation is their friend. That's fun. Billionaires are buying and selling assets at record profits in short amount of time. The American people are suffering the inflation from it, and the IRS is going to start monitoring your Venmo account to make sure that you don't take in $620 a year of unreported income. $599 you might sneak by with a slave. Anything over that, they're coming for you.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I to know she was with a Russian?
You know, I've got a little bit of Pitbull DNA in me, I guess. When I grab a hold of something, captures my attention. Boy, I tell you, it's hard for me to let go of it. This story about the these little payment processors, Venmo, PayPal, all of these things where people, you know, you go out to dinner with somebody, you shoot them a little bit of cash, you go to a garage sale, you don't want to carry cash anymore, garage sales are taking Venmo, and now the IRS wants to know everything that you do over $600 a year. This is that stealth reporting of over $600 a year. And it's just, you know, a lot of people are experiencing this right now with COVID, with your hysterical friends or your friends that are about to take their children, for the love of God, to get one of these experimental shots. And you just find yourself just wanting to just shake them and slap them across the face just to wake them up, not hostily. Not with hate, but with love, the same way you would if your friends or loved ones or family joined a cult. You would want to shake them out of their stupor and say, what are you doing? See, I've experienced this for probably 15 years now when it comes to the IRS and taxes. I mean, what will Americans not put up with when you cannot send $600 through a payment processor without the IRS getting a notice of it and having a tax file form for you? I mean, what is it that we won't put up with? And I believe this is another mass formation of this idea that, you know, well, you got to pay your fair share. I mean, the left is wholeheartedly bought into this, but that's because they want a bunch of stuff. What the hell is up with the right? Who doesn't want things from the government? Well, you want a few things from the government. You want a $1 trillion defense budget and the war on drugs. Those are costly, so maybe you should be ponying up. For us observers out here, us independents, us libertarians, I want nothing. I want nothing. Oh, I'll take a little bit of national security defense. That'd be great. We could probably do that for about $200 billion, and we collect more than that just in corporate taxes in a quarter. Done. I don't want anything personally. I don't want to use the government to go break up big tech or any of these other. I don't want the government to do anything for me. They can abolish just about every department they've got. But for the right that really says they don't want anything from the government, they're not into entitlements, they're into hard work, they don't want to be on welfare or any other, they don't want to see stimulus checks floating around out there. Why the hell are you just bending over for this this $600 requirement, the rest of the taxation stuff? I went to the Americans for Prosperity kickoff meeting last night at their office, not at the restaurant that I mentioned yesterday. I actually went by the restaurant. I went up to the bartender and said, I've done a terrible thing. You've directed people to this establishment. If you would, please give them this address and tell them this is where the meeting is. So I apologize for that. We corrected it on the air yesterday as to where the AFP meeting was at 6 o'clock last night. Anyway, people did end up making it there. I sat next to a great guy, and I did what I always do when the subject of taxation comes up, and I recommended a documentary to him, Aaron Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism. This is available on YouTube for free, and I encourage everybody to go take a look at it to know exactly what you're acquiescing to. I think this is one of those game-changer documentaries. There are several of them. There are health documentaries that have really opened my eyes to certain things. There's something called the Gerson Miracle. You should check that out. This is a group that has been run out of the country. They're forced to operate in Mexico, but they actually take people who are sent home dying from stage four cancer, and the doctors say there's nothing we can do for you. Cancer and other diagnoses, and they go down to this clinic, and I think they juice for 30 days, and then they go home and live productive lives. So there's all kinds of documentaries that have changed my life, opened my eyes, waked me up. And America, Freedom to Fascism is one of those things. It's one of those documentaries where what I really want to do is tell the guy, hey, I'm going to come over to your house, and we're going to watch this documentary. I'm not going to watch the documentary. I'm just going to watch your face. I'm going to see how you interpret this documentary, because I believe it is a pretty eye-opening thing. I like to get people's reaction. So if anybody out there takes me up on this and takes a look at the documentary, America, Freedom to Fascism, you got a weekend. We're going to be snowed under on Sunday, according to the weather. check out that documentary and then email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. Tell me what you think about it. I found it absolutely fascinating. Big news yesterday was the Supreme Court struck down the individual mandate from the Biden regime for employers of over 100 people. This was certainly good news. They kept it in place for healthcare workers. I don't understand the rationale there. I understand federal employees. Joe Biden is the boss of them. This is what you get when you make a deal with the devil. And I guess I could say that to the healthcare workers as well. You've enjoyed all this fat government taxpayer cash sloshing around the healthcare system, and now they're making some pretty unreasonable demands of you, and you're powerless to stop them. But I still don't understand this. I mean, healthcare workers do not draw a check. They do not get a check from the United States government. They're working for private hospitals and public hospitals. And I've heard people say, well, they take a lot of them. If they take Medicare and Medicaid money, then they have to abide by a Biden mandate for government employees and contractors. But if that's the case, good Lord, how many businesses are at the teat of the U.S. federal government? Should Raytheon not be forced to require all of its employees? I think Raytheon's income is 90% from the federal government. And certainly you could go down through all of the defense contractors. Hell, look at Pfizer right now. Pfizer. Pfizer is getting tens of billions of dollars for this ridiculous experiment that we're running on people. I mean, the giant chunk of Pfizer's income now is coming from Uncle Sam. That perverted Uncle Sam. That evil, twisted Uncle Sam. The weird uncle. I don't even want anywhere around me. But anyway, if the litmus test is, well, you're taking a bunch of money from the Fed, so they can require you to do whatever. I mean, Mississippi State government. We talked about it either yesterday on the show or last night with Americans for Prosperity. I think Mississippi brings in $6 billion from taxation and fees and everything else. They have $6 billion in revenue from our own residents, and then we get $10 billion from the feds. We're a welfare state. We get bailed out every year. This is why I'm not a hypocrite in talking about California or Illinois or Chicago being bailed out by the feds. I don't like it, but I am at least aware of the fact that a super red Republican majority, super majority state in Mississippi is one of the biggest welfare queens in the country. We get $10 billion from the feds. Does that mean that every Mississippi citizen should be forced to get the jab? I mean, good Lord, the tentacles of this beast in Washington, D.C. are large. So I don't understand why the healthcare workers are still subject to this, but that's where we find ourselves. The Justice Roberts, the continually, apparently compromised U.S. Supreme Court justice, siding on that one. But I guess he went the right way on the rest of the mandate. And, of course, I've got in this week on the crazy train, I've got a clip that shows us, you know, we all suspected that in all nooks and crannies of our federal government, we've got corrupt players and idiots. This past week showed us just exactly how dumb you can be and still be on the Supreme Court of the United States. So we'll get to that later. But anyway, we'll take whatever wins we can get. Now the employers who force this shot on their employees have nowhere to hide, no one to stand behind. It is just them and their hysteria that is forcing their employees to do it, and I certainly hope the trial attorneys take a big, nasty bite out of these employers particularly now, as we know quite evidently that this vaccine does not stop any kind of spread, any kind of sickness, any kind of hospitalization. It's a big fat zero. If your employer still forces you to get this thing, they ain't thinking real sharp. What I might suggest is you quit and go start a business to compete with that business owner, because I don't think it'd be difficult to beat them. They obviously are not real swift, very smart people. I'd like to say no offense, but offense intended, if you're a business owner and you're forcing your employees into an experiment. One other story that was yesterday that came out, and I'll take calls on this. I'm a little lost. Where are we on the who is and who isn't a Fed? Yesterday, some of the Oath Keepers were arrested. 11 members of the Oath Keepers, including the group's founder, Stuart Rhodes, were indicted Wednesday by a federal grand jury in the District of Columbia for an alleged seditious conspiracy to attack the U.S. Capitol and prevent the certification of electoral votes from the 2020 presidential election. Indictment returned January 12th and unsealed Thursday. Oh, there they are. There's the sealed indictments I heard about all during the Trump administration. So they actually do unseal indictments. Of course, it's not for any of the deep state people, none of the criminals in government. It's for the average guy. It's for the Oath Keepers. Oh, they'll unseal an indictment there, but the 10,000 sealed indictments that Trump had ready to roll out to crater the deep state, never got around to those. The indictment returned January 12th and unsealed Thursday brings the first January 6th charges for Elmer Stuart Rhodes, the third, 56, of Granbury, Texas, and Edward Vallejo, 63, of Phoenix, Arizona. Rhodes faces a count of seditious conspiracy and four other charges from January 6th. Vallejo is charged with seditious conspiracy and three other counts. So, you know, is this a... I mean, believe me, I'm suspicious of this stuff. Stuart Rhodes seems a little sketch to me. Obviously, there were provocateurs in the January 6th crowd, and I know there's this other guy. I just lost his name. Epps. This Epps character apparently has not been charged yet, and he is one of the big... potential feds that was in this organization as an agent provocateur. But is Stuart Rhodes in the clear now? Because really, arrest of the Oath Keepers, I wouldn't be surprised if Stuart Rhodes and the Oath Keepers went to the federal government and said, can you please charge us? We are needing some street cred. The people that have been following us for a long time have been turning on us hardcore and accusing us of all kinds of things, which may or may not be true. Could you please arrest us? You know, I think rappers go through this, don't they? Isn't there something to that? If you've got a rap career, you need to do a little bit of time to appear hard. You get your street cred, and then you're more accepted in the community. Well, maybe that's what's happened with this. But like I say, I'm a little lost on who's a Fed, who's not. Does this clear Stuart Rhodes and the Oath Keepers guys? Are they now not Feds, or is this some kind of a sham prosecution to just cover the fact that they were Fed operators? I'm sure some of y'all know. Let me know. Be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard and melted, but we still have the radio.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. There's been a lot of headlines about blood shortages. I'm a blood donor. I will admit, I don't think I've gone near a collection site since the COOF came along. I really did. There's a couple times I thought about going. I'll be honest with you, I'm just not going to sit there in a mask. That's probably selfish. You know, if you've got blood that could save a life, and I'm an O negative. I'm one of the OGs of the blood game, baby. I'm a universal donor. I'm treated well when I go to donate blood for that reason. But I didn't want to sit there in a mask for an hour and a half. And I got to tell you, the staff turnover, some of the blood collection sites I've noticed, this was before COVID. I can't imagine what it is now. I always seem to get the new guy or the new gal. Not especially good at finding a vein on the first two tries. It's gotten a little old, too, but I've always given blood. But it seems to me, as a free market capitalist guy with blood donations, it seems relatively easy to probably get more blood and quit telling us that you're constantly running out. And that's just pay people for their blood. I don't know why we don't do this. You can be paid for, I think, plasma. You also can't be paid for organ donation, I believe. I think that's law, maybe. And I'm sure there's some justification for organ harvesting. I may see my way to actually understanding that one. But for blood, what? I mean, they sell this blood. It does not go to your veins, to some charity, and some volunteer comes and picks it up on their bike and rides it over to the hospital, and they just say thank you. And I mean, this there's a market for this blood. It's large. Red Cross makes a lot of money off of this. Now, I know a lot of it just goes to offset paying phlebotomists and the buildings where, I mean, I know there's expenses in collecting blood, but it just, I've never quite understood why you don't throw somebody $25-$50. You would have a lot of people probably once a week in there donating blood. Boom, blood shortage over. Anyways, probably just another consequence of the COVID. Another thing, more people will needlessly die awaiting blood transfusions because they've broken the blood system just like they've broken everything else. They broke the labor market. They broke the supply chains. They broke people's mental health. They've broken it all. And blood supply is just another one of these things that's broken. There was something else yesterday somebody was mentioning, and I thought, oh my gosh, something I hadn't even thought of. Broken because of their response. There is a very interesting article. I've talked at some length about the fact that we're seeing from the One America CEO who addressed, I think it was just a company call, and said they're seeing this 40% increase excess deaths in the 18 to 64 age group. Now, this is obviously surprising, and what he said was, it would be a 1 in 200-year event if the death rate of these people went up 10%. It's gone up 40%. So I can only assume maybe there's some exponential math that goes into that. This is a once in, I don't know, what, a 1,000-year event? Could be simple math. We'll say 800. Could be exponential. Could be thousands of years. Anyway, it's a big deal. It's not something that they've ever seen in the industry before, a 40% increase in excess deaths. There's an article that actually came out in the Epoch Times. Epoch Times? Epoch Times? I've heard that all over the place. Anyway, it's the Falun Gong organization that has swayed conservatives to hating China. look, Epoch Times puts out some good stuff. I'm not, you know, they're interesting. They certainly are not captured by the lunatic left in that way, but just consider the source. You know, the Falun Gong has been persecuted by the Chinese wrongfully. I mean, I don't really understand Falun Gong exactly what it is. I don't know if it's a cult or what it is. But Epoch Times came out of that movement, so obviously they have a natural hostility towards China. I've got a natural hostility towards my government. Probably not going to get a whole lot of good reports on the U.S. federal government on this show. I'll do them if I find them. I just can't, you know, I've been here for 5 years. I'm still waiting for something that positive that comes out of the U.S. federal government. Anyway, they put out a good piece about these excess deaths. I ran across this on Zero Hedge, and they give a state-by-state overview of the excess deaths and what they are attributed to, and it's pretty fascinating stuff, but it also, well, the first thing I thought of was it's these shots. It just seems to make sense. What have we introduced in the third and fourth quarter of last year? And that's when these deaths really accelerated. Why would we suddenly have all these excess deaths? Some of these actually, as they go state by state, when the One America CEO made the call, he said, you know, these are not COVID deaths. This is a 40% increase in working age adults for some reason we can't identify. To which many of us, myself included, said, I think I can help you identify it. But they break it down on a state by state, and some of it is COVID, but it's kind of interesting to see, like, New Hampshire had zero increase in excess deaths. That's a very heavily vaccinated state. Why would that be? Now, the possibility exists that they have had excess deaths to something else. New Hampshire has been one of the states, I believe, that was very hard hit by the opioid epidemic. So if they have had excess deaths because of the opioid epidemic, but that for some reason maybe they've been falling as these other excess deaths are going up, you understand what I'm saying? Their bar was already high, but they're a heavily vaxxed state. Or does this say that maybe it's not the vaccination that's driving these things? I don't like this shot. I just don't think there's anybody who would question that. I know this is a huge medical experiment, and by far and away the most deadly medical intervention ever introduced to the world, and particularly here in the United States, with tens of thousands of people dying and being disabled. I think it is a crime against humanity what's going on. But at the same time, I want to find out the truth. I want to know the actual facts. And some of the states that have had higher excess deaths than others, one is Texas. Texas, according to this information, and it's the prime age mortality increase. And again, this is the 18, these are actually in 18 to 49-year-olds. In Texas, that amount is 61% increase. Again, remember that this One America executive said that a 10% increase would be a 1 in 200-year event. According to this data, Texas has had a 61% increase in the death rate in the 18 to 49-year-old. Now, Texas has got a lot of people, and I'm sure a lot of them have accepted the vaccine into their lives. But I wouldn't imagine that they're one of the more heavily vaxxed states. So it's an interesting idea. Nevada is another one that is pretty high. Tennessee, Louisiana, Florida have all got a lot of excess deaths. Again, I would imagine Florida does have, but again, this is in the 18 to 49, so all of the seniors, particularly in Florida, that have taken the jab, the needle, as they say, would not be counted in this. I just say this because I am actively searching for the actual numbers. I don't think we're ever going to get to the bottom of these things. Now, they could go in and do a very in-depth dive, and yeah, probably take two or three states. You know, 50 states, that's a lot of work. Go through all of the death certificates of all 50. That's too much, but you could probably take a sample size of these things, and they could get the number. God knows they've got the money to hire the people. We give the CDC, we did. I haven't seen the latest budget numbers, but even prior to COVID, they were getting $40 billion a year. $40 billion, and as I say, the more they fail, the more money they're going to get. That's the fun little thing about our government. The worse you do, the more you can cry about the reason that you did bad was because you didn't have the funding, or you will say that, well, we could have done better, we just needed a few more things, and so failure is rewarded massively in the federal government. Look at our education system since the Department of Education cropped up in, I believe, 1977. Constantly more and more money for worse and worse results. Every time there's a worse result, they blame it on anyone, anyone, lack of money. So the CDC has plenty of money to actually study these things. But if you go to this piece, and if you need to, you can either go to Zero Hedge and just look for it in the past days, nationwide surge in deaths among people 18 to 49, a state-by-state overview, or go get the same story by Peter Svob on the Epoch Times. And you can take a look at it for yourself and see. It breaks down how many of these excess deaths are attributed to COVID. In many states, it's only maybe a third of these are attributed to COVID. In Texas, Texas had a 61% increase in excess deaths. They said 58% of those were attributed to COVID, so that still leaves 42% of those, of that large number. So doing a little bit of public school math here, probably around 25% increased mortality in people that is not attributed to COVID, and we already know COVID. Alex Berenson has got a piece out. If you're not following him on Twitter and you're suspicious about these shots, or even if you're still considering these things, if you're thinking about giving these to your children, please follow Alex Berenson. At least get this second opinion. He's just giving the stats. He's on Substack. He put out charts, again, as I attempt to describe a chart over the air, stimulating radio. But he's got a chart showing hospitalizations and deaths from COVID, supposedly, and they put it juxtaposed to when people take the shots. And boy, you should see the spike in the week the time immediately after a vaccination, hospitalizations and deaths just really spike. Now, there's other ways to explain this. People rush out to get vaccinations. When there's a surge, they suddenly get scared. They go out and they get the shot. But there's also a whole lot of evidence that these shots absolutely compromise your immune system for about the first month after you take these things is about the best I can see. So for the first month, you were actually more susceptible to severe disease. Then you get a You get maybe about 60 days of some level of protection. I'm still not clear on exactly how much, but there may be some protection from days 30 to 90. And then at 90 days, it starts to take a nosedive, and that's when they come in and tell you you just need another stick. I've got clips on that for today, too. Anyway, this is an interesting piece to try to figure out. It's not all the red states that are seeing the big upticks in excess mortality within their working age people. A lot of red states are seeing this increase. Makes me really wonder what's going on. Be right back.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
I've only got a couple minutes left in this hour before we get to False Flag Friday and this week on the Crazy Train. But I'll pull this clip out of the Crazy Train and just put it out here into just bizarro world. So we had the news that the Supreme Court knocked down the vaccine requirement for employers, for private employers out there. But there will be some employers that still insist that you go get the jab. I want you to, maybe you'll need this clip from me. You can email me and get it if you've got an employer. I want you to listen to how the CEO of Pfizer describes the efficacy of these shots. You'll understand why he makes this admission at the beginning of the clip when you hear the end of the clip. This is the CEO of the company that people are demanding you take their jab. And I just got to assume that the CEO knows what he's talking about. Check this out.
And we know that the two doses of the vaccine offer very limited protection, if any.
The first two doses offer very limited, if any. If any. This is the CEO of Pfizer telling you, oh, the first two shots? And he's talking about the Omicron. Limited benefit, if any. I'm surprised you didn't chuckle after it.
And we know that the two doses of the vaccine offer very limited protection, if any. The three doses with a booster, they offer reasonable protection against hospitalization and deaths. Against deaths, I think very good. And less protection against infection. Now, we are working.
So, our first two, no good. The booster, it's not really protecting you from getting infected or spreading this thing, but we're still clinging to the idea it keeps you out of the hospital and keeps you from dying. And then he gives you the big butt. You know why he just admitted to all of that? Because of this.
Working on a new version of our vaccine, the 1.1, let me put it that.
The 1.1. You guys are going to get your software update with the 1.1 version of the shot.
Wait, that will cover Omicron as well. And, of course, we are waiting to have the final results. The vaccine will be ready in March.
Yeah, we're waiting for the final results, but we know that the results don't really matter of any kind of testing or anything. The FDA will. They'll approve this thing because they work for us. That's the CEO telling you. So, I mean, I got to tell you, I love the spring. I don't like cold weather. I'm a bit of a sissy. It's not very masculine, I know. I get chilly easy. I just love the warm air, a warm breeze. The birds are chirping. The flowers are blooming. And the new shots come out. So get ready in March. Pfizer will be hatching out the Omicron shot, the 1.1 vaccine in March. Of course, we all know, right? Omicron will be old news in March. They'll be chasing the last strain constantly. And I would imagine, what's the over-under on the next surge? the next variant. I'm air quoting these in the studio. I thought maybe with my voice inflection, I didn't have to say it, but yeah, I mean, so you're going to get a shot, probably mandated by a great number of people, for a variant that is peaking right now and will be long gone by March, but Pfizer will convince you that this new tweaking, I'm sure, with 1.1 vaccine. But I find that absolutely stunning. You have got this CEO of Pfizer, as we're discussing mandates, as employers, as your relatives are telling you, demanding, pleading with you to go out and get this shot. You got the CEO of Pfizer saying, yeah, first two shots worth nothing. Minimal benefit, if at all. No, he says, if any. I want to make sure I'm very accurate on this show. I did go to great pains to be very well-researched and documented on this show. He said they offer limited benefit, if any. This is just something you might want to keep. I've talked about it before. I'd like to make certain things ringtones, like the girl on CNN who came out and said, oh, cloth masks, they don't work with an aerosolized virus. And I'd also like to have a ringtone with the CEO of Pfizer going, the first two shots, minimal benefit, if any. And then I would have, if any, echo, if any, if any, if any.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Say it again, y'all.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You know, if I said yesterday, whenever it was, if we end up with a Hillary versus Trump election in 2024, I may have to make a commitment to move out of the country. I don't want to live under another 4 years of the constant hate and ridiculousness that went on during Trump's first four years, and I sure as hell ain't going to want to live under a Hillary Clinton regime. But I will say that it's great news for my intro. I worked very, very hard on that, and it's got both the Hillary evil cackle and a Trump quote. It would make my show. I'm toying around with the idea that I need to change it. New players, new conditions, probably need to throw some COVID stuff in there, maybe some Fauci, some evil Dr. Fauci. But maybe if I just hang in there, we'll all get back to a Hillary Trump thing, and my intro will be right back where it needs to be. This is Friday, so beginning of Friday, we do False Flag Friday, where I try to explain to people that wars are manufactured, and as Smedley Butler said, war is a racket. I find this to be a valuable show for the conservative talk radio, because I listen to conservative talk radio, and pretty much everywhere else you're going to hear war propaganda, and it is paid for by defense contractors and anybody else who benefits from these wars. A lot of very, air quotes here in the studio, conservative people still believe we should be the world's policeman and the leader of all things everywhere. I disagree with that. I don't think that's worked out for us. We're spending $1 trillion to try to maintain this empire that we have built, and it's bankrupting the United States, and it's going to destroy it for our children. Pretty easy concept to come up with. But this is to try to kind of break the conditioning of the right that has really gotten sucked into this national security state. Slowly but surely, I think people are waking up. There was a story that we had a U.S. embassy in Iraq was attacked. I want you to listen to these statements. I don't want any U.S. personnel to be attacked anywhere, not in Chicago and not in Iraq. The question is, why the hell are we in Iraq is really the question. But in the story here, I just found this kind of funny. The U.S. embassy's Baghdad official Twitter account said the compound, quote, was attacked this evening by terrorist groups attempting to undermine Iraq's security, sovereignty, and international relations. Quote, we have long said that these sorts of reprehensible attacks are an assault not just on diplomatic facilities, but on the sovereignty of Iraq itself. This is Orwellian to me. The Iraqi government has asked the United States to leave their country repeatedly over the past several years, with ultimatums and everything. Get the hell out. We'll take it from here. We have refused to leave. And when the facility that we maintain open against the wishes of the Iraqi people and their government, We say it's an attack on their sovereignty, which we are violating with the dawn of every morning that rises over this massive military installation we have plopped right into the middle of Baghdad. Suddenly we're worried. The Iraqis trying to get us out of their country is a violation of their sovereignty. I'm telling you. We live in strange, strange times. Stories about Kim Jong-un launched another weapon, and so I think they canceled some flights or diverted flights along the West Coast. We're all going to die. He's got another nuke. The story goes on to say, you know, that Kim this week hailed the country's claimed hypersonics program. You know, people doubt that they actually have that. But he said it's all part of the increasing North Korea's nuclear, quote, war deterrent. Now, I am no North Korea or Kim Jong-un fan, that fat little psychopath. But he probably does notice around the world, we tend to invade countries that don't have nuclear weapons. If I was a leader somewhere in the world, I might want to have a couple myself. Now, when it comes to false flags, my spidey sensors are going off on this one. And this is going to be, I think, the model, the least, just the easiest kind of false flag. If you want to kick off some hostilities somewhere around the world, what's the easiest thing to do? Leaving few fingerprints, and really, I got to tell you can do it with just a couple of nerds and a case of Mountain Dew. This is the report from Kiev, Ukraine. A number of Ukrainian government websites were targeted in a cyber attack with threatening text warning Ukrainians to, quote, be afraid and wait for the worst, and alleging their personal information has been hacked. Quote, as a result of a massive cyber attack, the websites of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and a number of other government agencies are temporarily down. That was what Foreign Ministry spokesman Oleg Nikolenko said on his official Twitter account on Friday. Quote, according to an investigation by the Center for Strategic Communications and Information Security, the first data suggests that the attack was carried out by anyone, anyone? The Russian Federation. This is what the Ukrainian Information Ministry said in a statement. So we've got a internet down situation in Ukraine being blamed on, of course, those dastardly Russians. These cyber attacks are so easy to perpetrate or to fake, whatever the hell you want to do. You don't even have to get any, gin up any satellite footage of troop movements or stage an actual bombing of something. You just, like I say, a few nerds and a case of Mountain Dew, and you can kick off World War III. When I come back, we're going to talk about Kazakhstan. Here's another one that smells like a rat, because I think it probably is a rat. Right, we are back. False Flag Friday. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to Kazakhstan. We've kind of got our own fish to fry here in the United States, but I find this stuff fascinating. And when you hear of a dust-up like this, there's been a lot of violence, a lot of arrests. There was an attempted coup in Kazakhstan. I'm not talking about a January 6th stroll through the Capitol coup. I'm talking about a real one. And there's been a great deal of violence there. Cities turned into war zones. Seems to have been depressed now. Russia came in at the behest of, they were invited in. They were invited in. And I'm going to play some clips about it in just a second. And I'm going to start a drinking game. And every time that one of our foreign policy psychopaths in any administration, Biden, Trump, Obama, Bush, keep going back, basically to Kennedy, When our foreign policy establishment, the psychopaths that inhabit the halls of power in the United States, directing our boys and girls, moms and dads, brothers and sisters halfway around the world to fight and die in the sand for the Wall Street warmongers, when they speak, see if you can see how many times they accuse another country of doing something that we most obviously do. I mean, we essentially brag about it. I'll play a clip about that in just a second. But one of the first things you need to do when you hear about any of these kinds of dust-ups and any of these so-called coups, first listen to the media. Find out which side they're on, because you know it's most likely they're on the wrong side, right? And they started talking about this dictator in Kazakhstan. this strong man. They start using those terms. They'll call it a regime rather than a government, right? That's how you know when the media wants to topple a government, they start calling it a regime. This is why I refer to the Biden regime, because I'd like to overthrow the Biden regime. Not violently, of course, just through the ballot box. Wink, wink. Anyway, the media is talking about how bad this guy is, and the people are just rising up. It's just all organic. These things are never organic. All of these color revolutions, the globalist paws are all over them. And you know who does their bidding in Congress? People like, I don't know, Ted Cruz. You know, that conservative stalwart. Yeah, I'm not done picking on Ted Cruz. I know he's jockeying for higher positions. Anyway, and another thing, so you listen to what the media says. If the media tells you how bad this guy is, first thing you should think is, okay, they're trying to target him, which means they're serving their corporate masters who are targeting them, and they're using the deep state in the United States to target this guy. Now, he may be no good. I'm not a fan of Assad in Syria, but he's by far and away not in the top 1,000 problems the United States has, yet we are still over there fighting and stealing their oil. So the media is against this guy. So I immediately think, well, this must be something planned. And then go look at a globe. Most people couldn't pick Kazakhstan off of a map if there was not a name attached to it. And I admit I would be the same. But I went and looked, and you ought to take a look at where Kazakhstan is. It's right between Russia and China. Also in very heavily energy rich lands. You know, Joe Biden has committed, he has said out loud, he intends to disrupt the Chinese Belt and Road Initiative. Now, I don't know why. There's a lot of people out there that think the Biden administration is bought and paid for by China, and I don't really doubt that. I think they're up for sale to the highest bidder from day to day. Most administrations are. But this, where Kazakhstan is and the fact that they're suddenly having all this dust up as Russia and China become closer allies, forced by the psychopaths. Do you understand what I'm saying? So a lot of people would listen to that and go, well, if we're disrupting this alliance between China and Russia, that's a good thing. The problem that you is, like most things Americans think about, they fail to go back just to even the smallest amount and say, oh, the reason Russia and China are so close is because of the psychopaths in Washington, D.C., sanctioning them and bossing them around and forcing them to become friends. Forcing them to combine resources to fend off the psychopaths in D.C. So this Kazakhstan thing does not impress me as some kind of a great national security thing of busting up this alliance. But I'm sure I haven't looked at it yet. But if I was to look at pipeline maps, Kazakhstan, I'm sure, provides a lot of energy and has got some pipelines involved in as well. Here's time to play the drinking game. I know it's early on a Friday morning, but check this out. I'm going to play some of our national security psychopaths here. And every time they say something that you know the United States is guilty of, take a drink.
First, a word on why Kazakhstan matters to the U.S. Senator Ben Cardin, who chairs the U.S. Commission on Security and Cooperation in Europe, puts it this way.
It does bridge between Russia and China, Asia and Europe. It really is one of the key locations. It is a country that's rich in resources.
Isn't that always interesting how it's always the countries that are really rich in resources that find themselves in these pickles?
It's a country that has a critical location from a security point of view, from a counterterrorism point of view.
U.S. companies are heavily invested in Kazakhstan's energy sector, and the U.S. saw the country as a relatively stable, though not a democratic, partner. Cardin, who was speaking via Skype, says he was disappointed to see Kazakhstan's president invite in troops from the Collective Security Treaty Organization, a group of ex-Soviet states led by Russia.
How dare Kazakhstan invite in their friends to help out?
When Russia sends troops, they rarely remove those troops.
Ding, ding, ding. Time to take a drink. When Russia sends in troops, it's hard to get them out. I just gave you the report on us still in Iraq. We just left Afghanistan after 20 years. But no, it's the Russians. When the Russians go in, they never leave.
And it's not what the Kazakhs need. It's not what the people need in that country.
The latest.
You got to love a sitting U.S. Congress critter telling the Kazakhstans what they need, telling the government what it should do, what's in its best interest.
turmoil started with protests over gas prices and corruption, but some major cities also saw mobs taking over government buildings. And experts point to another layer of conflict, an attempt by the country's president, Qasem Jomart Tokayev, to sideline other government elites linked to Kazakhstan's longtime ruler, Nursultan Nazarbayev. And in that complex picture, the U.S. has little leverage, according to Emma Ashford of the Atlantic Council.
Even if we wanted to intervene, even if there was a clear side upon which we thought we could intervene, which I don't think there is, we just don't have that much leverage in Kazakhstan. We have limited ties in the country, and they're almost all commercial in the energy sector.
And those are the ties that matter. Oh, of course, we are intervening. We're intervening on a daily basis. There's one of the clip here. I can't remember what came out of this clip, but this is, again, stories on Kazakhstan.
And Blinken is reluctant to conflate the situation in Kazakhstan with Ukraine, where Russia has seized territory and is threatening to take more.
Having said that, I think one lesson of recent history is that once Russians are in your house, it's sometimes very difficult to get them to leave.
Okay, again, you got to drink again. I'm sorry. I know it's Friday morning. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Ding, ding. Drink. We got our Secretary of State saying when those Russians go in, boy, it's tough to get them out. How long have we been in South Korea? 60-something years? We've got 800 bases and something like 120 countries around the world. We've built an empire. But it's those Russians. Once they come in, they never leave.
Regional experts say if Kazakhstan's president is able to reinforce his political power in the midst of this crisis, he will be indebted to Moscow.
Yeah, and there you go. This is another, obviously, this strongman. I'm sure he's no good. I don't think I know any politicians or any government leaders around the world that actually are the good guys. But obviously, this guy is friendly to Russia. Same thing that happened in Ukraine. This is almost the same playbook, another violent revolution. Full of even snipers on the roofs, just like that was blamed on the prior Ukrainian government that was friendly with Russia that we wanted to overthrow.
Tonight, the order from Kazakhstan's president to shoot to kill protesters without warning.
See, there's your media. The leader of Kazakhstan is a bad guy, right? You had somebody shot going into the U.S. Capitol to protect the sanctity of those hallowed halls. You think, what is a leader supposed to do if there's a coup attempting to overthrow the government, probably sponsored by Western powers? Do you just let it happen? Okay, well, we're going to try to talk them down. No shooting, though. Yeah, see, this is what happens when Western powers try to plot an overthrow of a government. People get shot.
Anti-government demonstrations sparked by a massive hike in gas prices are now focused on political change. Today, more Russian troops arriving. A few thousand believed to be mobilized after a plea from the beleaguered president. The authoritarian regime using live fire, as have some protesters. At least 25 demonstrators and 18 security...
Okay, I think that's a drinking moment. He called it an authoritarian government in Kazakhstan, which I'm sure it is. We live in a country that just made people stay in their homes, that won't allow you to go eat a steak in a restaurant somewhere unless you do what they say. So again, this is the mainstream media painting this guy to be a bad guy. That's a sign. And then there's this. There was a woman involved in the overthrow of Ukraine. She was made famous by being caught, or the call was leaked where she was with the State Department. They were just picking out who the new leaders of Ukraine were once they successfully overthrew the democratically elected government of Ukraine. And her name is Victoria Nuland. She was the change artist in the State Department that overthrew the government of Ukraine. The democratically elected government of, you know, there's a lot of talk out of D.C. about all of our love for democracy. Except when it's another country, we just want to change the leader out. We just go in and overthrow that government, regardless of what the people of that country say. And she said, as they were picking out the leaders, they said, quote, F the EU, meaning the European Union, they were going to put their guys in. They didn't care what the EU said. We were going to put our guys in there. Well, she is back.
So before I go into some of the diplomatic substance, let's remember how we got here. It is Russia that created this crisis out of...
again. So it's drink. You got to drink. The U.S. overthrew the government of Ukraine that was friendly to Russia and implanted instead a government run largely by neo-Nazis, literal neo-Nazis, Heil Hitler sign, the swastika, the whole deal. That's what the U.S. put in charge at Ukraine that was hostile to the government. So, again, that's a drinkable moment. She says that Russia kicked this all off. You know, she's talking about when they started moving troops closer to Ukraine recently. Actually, it was started back when the government, U.S. government, overthrew the government of Ukraine back in 2014.
Of whole cloth. It is Russia that has amassed 100,000 troops on Ukraine's borders.
I think that's a drink. We amass troops all over the world, constantly.
It is Russia that has prepared internal sabotage, destabilization, and false flag options for Ukraine.
Okay, I think that's three drinks. The U.S. foreign policy psychopaths are guilty of every single one of those things in country after country. Please pull over. Do not drive while we play this game.
And it is Russia that has spewed disinformation and lies about Ukraine, about the United States, and about NATO.
Okay. Just one drink. I guess we'll just use that as lies, and we won't use the three particular things that the U.S. federal government lies about constantly. We won't parse those into... It's just one big lie, so drink.
To justify its own actions. At a time when COVID is running rampant again across Russia, as it is in other places, and where only half the population is vaccinated, the Kremlin has to justify to the Russian people why it is stoking a potentially very bloody and costly conflict for Russia.
Okay, drink. I mean, we've got 50% of vaccinated here. We've got a virus that's running rampant. Yeah, this is Victoria Nuland out there telling you why we need to kick off a new war over the borders of Ukraine for some strange reason.
Rather than focusing on its own citizens' health, and on Russia's own significant challenges in building back better.
Oh, look at that.
No one needs a conflict now, least of all Russia.
Okay, drink. Yeah, that's Victoria Nuland. She's back. She is the change artist. We'll keep an eye on Kazakhstan. I don't think this is going to go away. This is a vitally cherished area for the globalists, for the big corporations, and for anybody that wants to disrupt trade from China and Russia. So we'll keep an eye on it. Be right back.
What's a frequency? Can it be shot? Benz or train?
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it is that time of the week where we wrap it up when we take a look, as I am continuing to document the slide of the United States and the rest of the world into the throes of complete and utter insanity in this segment called This Week on the Crazy Train. This week, I've got a couple of clips in here that I played earlier in the week, but you cannot ignore them when it gets to the truly craziest stuff that's happened over the past 7 days. This is the week that we really found out exactly how stupid you can be and be one of the chosen 9 black-robed Supreme Court justices. This was Sotomayor recounting what the landscape is with COVID out in the country right now.
Counsel, those numbers show that Omicron is as deadly and causes as much serious disease in the unvaccinated as Delta did.
Wrong.
The numbers, look at the hospitalization rates that are going on. We have more affected people in the country today than we had a year ago in January. We have hospitals that are almost at full capacity with people is severely ill on ventilators. We have over 100,000 children.
Wrong.
Which we've never had before in serious condition.
Wrong.
And many on ventilators.
Wrong.
So saying it's a different variant just underscores the fact that without some workplace rules.
And she got shot down on that. But anyway, I mean, for anybody who held any illusions, you know, was the Supreme Court the last place that anybody had any hope as far as an institution is? Not myself, but, you know, many people thought Trump got his folks on there. Maybe the Supreme Court will hold up for us. Well, They're batting about 50-50 right now, and it does show you exactly the mental acuity of those lording over us. Of course, when it comes to stupidity, no one can outdo the average American hysteric who's been who's just been driven to the levels of insanity around COVID, and this was a story that made the rounds this week.
A Cypress Falls high school teacher accused of putting her 13-year-old son inside her car trunk has bonded out of jail. Sarah Beam is charged with child endangerment. We're told she was at a drive-through COVID-19 testing site in Northeast Harris County when a worker found the 13-year-old and notified police. Beam allegedly said her son tested positive for COVID and she did not want to be exposed. Beam is now out on a $1,500 bond. Cyfair ISD says Beam has been placed on administrative leave.
She's a teacher. She's a teacher. Her son tests positive for COVID in the trunk. I don't want you around me, you little diseased being. I wish I'd never had you. Let's see. This was the realization. I'm not sure why they're doing this. And a lot of people aren't getting this message, so I'm just doing my public service duty here at the station. But they are finally just coming out and telling people that the cloth masks do not work. I guess whoever manufactures, I need to research this, don't I? Whoever manufactures the N95 mask, it's their turn at bat. They have been playing second fiddle to the cloth masks from Etsy for too long. They've made a good contribution, and now they're coming clean and saying cloth masks don't work. You got to upgrade.
Meanwhile, an eye-opening pre-Omicron study on masks showing it can take about half an hour for two people wearing cloth masks to pass the virus to each other.
And they've been having your children in schools 8 hours a day in these bacteria trap masks. And they're showing that if there was virus and if it was a danger to children, it would have been swapped back and forth like trading cards all day anyway.
Compared to about 25 hours when both are wearing N95 masks.
Well, the CDC, according to the Washington Post, is now weighing an update to its mask guidance, pushing for those higher quality N95 and KN95 masks over cloth masks amid this Omicron surge.
Well, if I was a parent that had been talked into sending my kid to school in these disease-ridden bacteria trap, moist, dirty masks for the past 22 months, I'd be angry, but I'm sure they won't. This was CNN, the little piggy Brian Stelter on CNN asking if the media is out of touch with the American people. I don't know, Brian.
Here's a big, overly broad question for
there
you.
There he
okay? is. Is the media at this point out of touch with the public about COVID?
I think it's hard to argue that, you know, the media is a large group of people, but a lot of the media does seem, when I look at it and then travel the country, to be very out of touch with people. I mean, if you travel the country, people are not really living in the same bubble that...
We're not. They're just not living in the fear we've been trying to put them in.
It seems that most of the media is messaging toward, and so... Yeah, and so I think this is an issue because if people are tuning out what's going on in cable news, if we're not messaging toward the general population, you know, they're just, you know, ignoring everything and living their lives, and we're not really getting the information that they need to them.
Yeah, no, we've listened to your information. We've decided we don't want it, nor should we need it. You got to love that. They're just out there living their lives. They're not listening to us. That's right, Brian Stelter. Nobody's listening to Brian Stelter or any of his cavalcade of guests. They're listening to Joe Rogan if they really want to know where the people have gone. Of course, the propagandists are everywhere, and I keep pointing this out. I want to always make sure that people understand this. There was a $3 billion fund set up, announced by Jen Psaki, explaining they were going to spend $3 billion on influencers, and that would be celebritize. Athletes, these kinds of people, and particularly the late night shows who have gone full on vax. This was from the Jimmy Kimmel show. This maybe I'll halt this thing if I feel it's too visual, but this is a little skit they've done for their audience on the anti-vax Barbie.
There's a
new doll in town, and the fun is contagious. It's Anti-Vax Barbie. She's strong. She's independent. She doesn't trust science.
Bill Gates is the Antichrist.
Vaccines have Satan's blood.
Barbie comes with a computer so she can do her own research.
Says here Moderna turns your teeth Jewish.
Take your Barbies everywhere. Shopping.
I'm sorry, you can't come in here without a mask.
I have a medical condition. I'm recording this bitch and you're going to jail.
To the stables.
Thank you for sharing your medicine, dancer.
And on the plane. And the only mandate this Barbie cares about is with her proud boyfriend, Ken.
Hi, Ken. Wanna go?
Ken's wearing a Let's Go Brandon t-shirt.
Throw eggs at nurses?
Sorry, babe, can't hear you. Alex Jones is talking about monoglobal antibodies.
Anti-Vax Barbie. Exclusively available in Florida and Kentucky. Barbie Dream ventilators sold separately.
Available at Walgreens.
Oh, geez, brutal. You might want to check that out. It'll make you a little sick. But it is, again, Jimmy Kimmel is, I guarantee you, or his parent company, Disney, is on the receiving end of part of this $3 billion to carry water for this clot shot from Big Pharma. Big Pharma not always getting good news. The EU, again, I have to keep traveling outside the borders of the United States to get any kind of research on hospitalizations in the vaxxed, death rates in the vaxxed, failed experiments when it comes to the vax. You got to go outside of the U.S. borders. The EU weighed in on the boosters that they're trying to roll out on Americans, and I got to tell you, they don't sound like they're down with it.
There are two concerns here, is that if we have a strategy in which we give boosters, let's say, every 4 months approximately, we will end up potentially having problem with the immune response, and the immune response may end up not being as good as we would like it to be.
You think?
So we should be careful in not overloading the immune system with repeated immunization. And secondly, of course, there is the risk of fatiguing the population with the continuous administration of boosters.
Uh-oh, Pfizer. Your lobbyists are needed in Europe. Toot sweet. Always remember that there's no pharmaceutical advertising in the EU. That's saved strictly for the United States and New Zealand. We're the only two countries that allow direct-to-consumer pharmaceutical ads. So I guess the pharmaceutical companies cannot own the media of these countries. And apparently they can't completely buy off the governments there either. But maybe that'll change with all the fat stacks that they're getting off of this vaccination program. Maybe they can start buying up more governments. This was a, you know, not funny ha-ha, but funny how this always happens thing. A reporter came on the BBC to talk about heart attacks in athletes, and gosh darn it, another technical difficulty.
Well, talk of sports with a lot of money, although before you say it, Carol, Port Vale's not one of them, Port Vale Football Club. And what about your players? What do they tell you about their nervousness about taking anything at all?
Well, firstly, can I say that Port Vale's one of the highest percentage of vaccinated players in our league. So it isn't that there's a big issue with it in that way. But they are worried.
Because?
And I think, you know, when you're looking at professionals, well, because they can see that they are other sports people that have suffered, whether it's through heart attack or death or what have you. Mm. Now, it may be that there's all there is now and it's raised the I don't know. But it is scaring them, and they.
We're not having a lot of luck with the Lions, are we, today? But
funny how that happens, isn't it? Reporter comes on, starts talking about the athlete's fear of dropping dead on the pitch, and suddenly her connection goes out. This I consider the title I have for this is so great, but it's actually not the case. I'm sorry, crimes against humanity is what I've talked a lot about with these shots. This is a crime in support of sobriety.
One other pandemic headline, Quebec, Canada will soon be issuing fines to people who are unvaccinated. The money will benefit the healthcare system. Quebec residents will also need to be vaccinated to buy alcohol at government-run stores.
Oh man. They're putting the screws to them up there. You can't even buy booze until you get the jab. And here it is. I was thinking about this earlier. I talked to a first hour about how they've broken everything, broken the labor markets. Everything's broken. The supply chains in particular are broken. This was the thing I couldn't remember. I remember there was something else that was odd about a consequence of the supply chain disruptions. This was it.
Next, a new kind of hardship caused by the global supply chain crisis.
Listen to this. Things are so bad that new members of the Norwegian military are being asked to wear previously used underwear. New recruits are wearing undies that were returned by previous recruits.
An official insists the garments are cleaned and checked for, quote, quality.
We want to be the checker.
Yeah, so I don't know. We laugh at it now. I got to tell you, be careful. This may be coming our way. Before we know it, when I come back, we'll take a look. There was some stuff with the Biden administration, equally ridiculous. I'll be right back.
Citizens from all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for the week. I want to remind everybody on the way out, make sure you check out Your Pie up in Gluckstadt, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right up there by Germantown High School. 10-inch brick oven fire pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, beers, gelato, wine. They got it all. And this is a veteran-owned, locally-owned business trying to survive this. I've told you, I'm up there helping them out while they've got all these labor problems. That's how dedicated WYAB is to our advertisers. We'll even chip in when needed. And they got staff sometimes with, you know, 6-7 people scheduled. 3 of them out these days with a COVID test, a positive test. Some of them have felt badly. Some of them are just getting the test. Got to get the test. Make sure when you go out, any business that you frequent, any of these mom-and-pop shops out there in the Main Street businesses, have some patience with them. They are dealing with these labor issues are just absolutely insane. But Your Pie soldiers on and offers you fantastic food in a great setting. And they're definitely worth checking out. Make sure you download the Your Pie app. You'll get bonus points for everything that you buy and little goodies, free pizzas, specials during the course of the week. So check them out. That's Your Pie, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway up in Gluckstadt. All right, bunch of clips here. January 6th anniversary was this past week. So we got regaled with some of the real tearjerker stories. Of course, this was Biden talking about, I don't know if this is January 6th, but just classic Biden.
Last week, President Harris and I stood in the United States Capitol.
I think he's just trolling us. That sends shivers down my spine to even hear the term President Harris. And then he said this. A lot of people kind of went, wait, what?
I did not live the struggles of Douglas, Tubman, King, Lewis,
you think?
Goodman, Cheney, Swearner,
others,
known and unknown. I did not walk in the shoes of generations of students who walked these grounds, but I walked other grounds because I'm so damn old I was there as well. They think I'm kidding, man. Seems like yesterday the first time I got arrested. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, from what I've seen, never happened. Let's see. This is a quickie, but just, boy, the watching them hyperventilate over January 6th is quite funny.
I will allow no one to place a dagger at the throat of democracy.
unless it's Kazakhstan or Ukraine or whatever. Let's see. I'll see if I can get to a minute, just a second of this. This is Kamala Harris came out and gave her heartfelt remarks on the
occasion. Fellow Americans, good morning. Certain dates echo throughout history, including dates that instantly remind all who have lived through them where they were and what they were doing when our democracy came under assault. Dates that occupy not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory.
Oh, dear. They are pushing this idea of January 6th is going to come. No, but it's not a catchy. It's just not a catchy date. I'm sorry. The Trump supporters did not cooperate with you on that one. Here is Nancy Pelosi, and I'm only going to play this. It's a little bit longer than I really have time for, but I've got a funny joke for it. So here we go.
There were people in this Capitol that day who were viewing you as an enemy to be captured, to be humiliated. One of them said,
not just that day. We think that way about her all the time.
Was looking for you to shoot her in her frigging brain.
Yeah.
They desecrated your office. They left your staffers. you know, fearing for their lives. Have you found a way to put that in perspective, to reconcile it a year later?
How are you doing, Nancy?
Well, I've been one of their targets for a long time, and I have security to protect me. My concern was really for the other members and for the staff.
They can, what a hero,
destroy things in the speaker's office. That's wrong, but, you know, that can be repaired. But the trauma...
I've got $114 million. I can buy some new computers.
that they foisted on the idealistic people who come to the Capitol to work. The institutional staffers have nothing to do with Democrats and Republicans, only the Congress. Those who had to clean up behind these people with
the
their defecation and the, of work.
Can we please just think of the janitors?
And poo on the floor of the Capitol while they were recalled names that are totally unacceptable.
So she's upset that they had to clean up poo on the floor of the Capitol. I got to tell you, Nancy, every single day you people meet, there's at least over 400 steaming piles of poo on the floor of Congress. Let's see what else we got here. I've got a funny, I've definitely got one that I wanted to play. How much time have I got here? Yeah, okay. Ah, gosh, I'm going to be close. See what's wrong with this clip.
The most powerful telescope ever launched into space made another successful step on its journey to a point a million miles away from Earth today.
It's called the Batwing. And it's
NASA engineers working with a global team sent the commands that unfolded the final wing of the 21-foot primary mirror, revealing its golden hexagons in a honeycomb-like structure.
Wow, just look at that. The primary mirror is successfully deployed.
NASA scientists narrated the deployment process using a live animated visualization. There are no monitoring cameras on board the James Webb.
What the hell is a live animated presentation? That's the world we live in. Gotta go.
No
see
matter
it. Bye-bye.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.